Okay, God is good, isn't he? Well, I don't know about you, but I've come this morning to be changed. Not to have a good time, but to have a God time. Is that what you're all here for? Because we want to be changed each day. And sometimes change is difficult. It's not always easy to take. Sometimes we want to sit and stay in the groove. But that's not what God wants for us. He wants us to change, just like the caterpillar goes into the cocoon and then he comes out as a beautiful butterfly. But it's not without effort. It takes effort to change. And often we think about effort as being a physical thing, but it's not a physical thing. We need to be changed from the inside out. Father God, we just thank you this morning for your grace and your love. We thank you, Lord, that you have met us, Lord God. And this morning as we opened our eyes, Lord, Father, we just thank you that you're always there. Even at times when we're not always conscious of your presence, Lord, you're always there with us, ready for us to reach out to you. And this morning, I just pray, Lord, that you would help us to receive your word, Lord God. For it is not the vessel, but the word that brings power and authority, brings anointing and brings breaking and change. Lord, you want to break us. You want to strip us. You want to mould and make us into your perfect will, that we might bring your glory upon this earth that needs it so much. In Jesus' name. Amen. I had a real joy this morning and a real confirmation, not that I needed it for my word because it's been stirring in my heart for weeks, but I received a message from my grandson this morning who has been to Hillsong, and the message simply said, "Hi Grandma, I'm now back in Melbourne, the greatest city in Australia, and I'm filled with passion to bring change. I'm filled with a passion to bring change." And that's what God wants. He wants change. He wants us to change, church. He wants us to change individually. He wants us to grow. And those wonderful words that came this morning, as Elder Lewis's heart was stirred to bring us to hear that we're not to walk with our heads down, we're to have our hearts and our heads lifted high, ready to meet with him. We only put our heads down when we feel shame or embarrassment. The Lord Jesus died for all of that shame and embarrassment so that we could lift our heads and that we could look at him. And then as Heather came and said, there is a rain coming, there is a power, there is an anointing, not that we've not known before, but in a greater sense. Are you ready for that this morning? You know, we say we are, but are we really ready? You know, we think about the seasons and the things that come and go, and we think that we've been in a very dry season and we're looking for rain. And sometimes when we've had a really dry patch and it really rains, I say, "Oh, isn't it wonderful, this rain?" And my husband says, no, it's coming down and the ground's not ready for it. It'll just run off. It needs that constant soaking rain. But the earth needs to be prepared to receive that so that it doesn't run off, but that it sinks in. And you see, our hearts need to be ready to receive. And that's what I want to talk about this morning, that our hearts are ready to receive that God has for us. We live in a world today that is in turmoil. We look in the television, we read in the papers about the things that are going on in our world. And you know, there are so many people that still live in complacency in Australia. She'll be right, mate. Do you know what it gets me, how men particularly call everybody mate, whether they're their mate or not? You know, maybe someone who's offended you and you say, "Oh, don't worry, mate." Well, inside you really want to knock them, but you're calling them mate. But you see, we live in a deceptive society. We live where men and women are not ready to lift their heads up or to speak what they feel. And our pastor, our senior pastor, brought before us the other week that we really need to be praying for this country. And you see, Australian people say, "She'll be right, mate." And even Christians are saying, "We're right, this is the great Southland of the Holy Spirit." Well, it is. But what are we here for? We are to bring that Spirit forth. The Holy Spirit is within us. And you see, we know this is the great Southland of the Holy Spirit. But the Lord God created us and placed us here with a mandate, with a purpose, that we might bring forth that Spirit into this earth, that we might stand up and be counted, that we might make a difference. There are some incredible things happening if we really click in and we're aware of what's going on. And it's even surprised me at how Christians have even said with our government and the things that are happening now, oh, well, it's okay, give a woman a go and see how she goes. That's terrifying. It's not about a man or a woman. It's about principle. It's about the things of God. And we need to be very careful about how we view people. We need not to just look at the outer exterior and think someone is nice because they smile or because we think it's popular. We need to look at the character and the views, and we need to know what people really stand for and what they believe in. The Word of God tells us in Mark 12:30 that we're to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all of your mind and with all of your strength. And so that is what I want to talk about this morning. And that to me speaks passion. We need to have a passion for the things of God. In our Woman to Woman, we've been studying the book of Deborah. If you want to read a powerful story, a real life story, read Deborah, the book of Deborah. And Deborah came in a time, and I'm not going to speak about her today, but Deborah came in a time when her world was in turmoil. But you see, God was preparing someone to come forth to bring a difference to the world. And Deborah had a passion. She had a passion to be all that God wanted her to be. And so she brought change. But you see, God needs to be our first love. Is God your first love today? Is he your first love? You know, we often say things, but do we really mean them? Do we really live them? Do we really express them? A big passion for God means that every fibre of our being is drawn to him every moment of every day. No matter what we're doing, he's the undergirth. He's the one that stirs our hearts. Passion is defined in the Webster's Dictionary as an intense, driving, or an overmastering feeling or conviction, a strong liking desire for or devotion, an ardent affection, a love. How does Jesus portray his passion for God? Well, he gave his life. He stretched out his arms and was nailed to the cross. Jesus laid everything out for us because of his passion to be obedient to the will of the Father. And I love the way Elder Noel brought that this morning, because often we talk about the love of Jesus, but it's the love of God. Jesus came to be obedient to the will of the Father, that God so loved, that God so loved with a passion that he would give his own son, and that his own son had such a passion and a desire to be in the Father's will that he was willing to go and lay his life down, that you and I might be here today and that we might be saved. You know, there's a creative force behind many things, behind art or great drama and music. There's a passion agriculture, great writings. Nothing ever great in life is accomplished without passion. And we can find it so easy at times to have passion about many things. Passion is what energises. Passion is what makes the impossible possible. Passion gives you reason to get up in the morning and to do what you have to do, otherwise you're always dragging your feet. You get out of bed and you say, oh, another day, and you walk along wearily all day, and so nothing is achieved, not externally, but nothing is achieved internally. Nothing goes on. Passion is what mobilises an army to action. It is passion. We need passion in our relationships. I'm not talking about lust. The world calls passion and it's lust. I'm talking about the passion of unconditional love. I'm talking about the passion of commitment. In a marriage, there must be passion. There must be passion, both passion for discussion and passion for achievement. Most married people would say, I know my husband and I often have many passionate discussions. And they're good. Passionate discussions are great. It's great to get into something. That's not an argument. It's a discussion. One is putting the other, one opinion to the other until it's resolved. But there needs to be a passion of commitment that no matter what's going on around you, you've determined with a passionate desire that this is going to work. And that's how we've stood here for 51 years of marriage, because there has been a passionate desire that we would seek God and know his will so that it would work. There has to be a passionate desire for our children, that we want to raise them and see them grow into the fullness and all that God has for them. Not our own ideas, but a passionate desire. And we need passion. We need passion to fire us up and to enable us to go the hard yards at times. Because children, you're wonderful, but you're not always easy. You can be challenging. You can be beautiful, but you can also be frustrating. And so we need, and the mothers are nodding their heads, we need that passion to be able to keep up. We need the passion to be able to keep pace with you because you're very energetic. And children don't often think about mum and dad's keeping pace. They just think about what they want and just expect that mum and dad will be there. So we need passion in every area of our lives. One day a man walked up to Jesus and he said, "Lord, what's the most important thing in the Bible?" And you know what the great commandment is, as we've said, that the Lord said, was to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. Now, the Lord could have said, "Love me with everything," but everything can mean anything. But he laid it out that we're to love with our whole heart, to love with our soul, to love with our mind, to love with our strength, to love with everything. And you see, if we don't have our minds in gear and that we're not thinking about the things of God first, then the flesh will not come under submission. You know, we live in a world today, we think that big is always better. Big is not what grows a church. Big is not, in numbers, isn't what's important. It's the heart and the state of the people. It's the growth of the people individually that makes a good church. There was a survey taken for people to say what they were looking for in a church or why had they tried and fallen away. And they said the most important thing they wanted to see was people with passion, people with a desire, people that were happy to be where they were, people that were happy to be serving, people that cared for one another. That unconditional love. And what did Jesus say? They will know that we're Christians by our love. We should be recognised by our passion. We should be recognised by our enthusiasm. If we go shopping, people should see there's a difference about us when we're at the checkout. If we go to buy a car or we go to do any sort of business, people should see something different about us. We need to have people give us a second look. Because they see that we're different to other people. That is passion. That's a passion that we need to have inside that works right through us. I love that phrase that in Mark 11:30 that comes from the Message Bible. It said, Jesus said, "Love the Lord God with all of your passion and prayer, intelligence and energy." That's what it's really talking about. I want you this morning to circle or write down passion. I want you to remember the word passion. I want you to go home and think about what passion means to you. What are you passionate about? Guy is saying, I want you to put some muscle into your relationship with me. I want you to put some energy into it. I want to see some commitment. I don't want you to be a wimp. I want you to be full on. God doesn't want us to be half-hearted. He wants us to give everything we've got, every moment of every day. Jesus is saying, if you're going to follow me, you need to follow me with passion. He demands passion. The Bible tells us that we need to seek God passionately. You know, we pray, but do we really pray passionately? The Word of God tells us passion is fervour. And the word tells us that the effectual and fervent prayer of a righteous man or a woman avails much. We are to pray with passion. not, oh Lord, you know. We need to really believe it. We need to tell him that we need it, that we declare his word. Colossians 3:23 says, whatever you do, do it with all of your heart as unto the Lord and not unto men. We need to be passionate about what we do for God. There are people that can be passionate about movies. They can be passionate about sports, passionate about politics, passionate about fashion and clothes, passionate about food, but not passionate about God. I typed in the phrase passionate or passion into the computer and I found hundreds of books with that title. There's a book, Passionate for Birds, Passionate for Books, Passionate for Cactus, Passionate for Chocolate, we all like chocolate, Passion for Fashion, Passion for Fishing, Passion for Gardening, Golf, Hunting. There's even books called Passion for Mushrooms. I wonder how many people are cooking them and putting them in salads. They may be smoking them. Passion for needlepoint, pasta, ponies. There's books called Passion for Potatoes, for Roses, for Shoes. There's even Passion for Steam, would you believe? I can't figure out what that's all about, but whoever likes steam will know what it means. But there's passion for everything. And you see, it's okay and it's popular to be passionate about those things. But when you start standing up and becoming passionate for the Lord Jesus Christ, you become not so popular. You see, we know, and I've said it many, many times before, and I'll say it as long as I've got breath, that we need to be raising our hearts and our hands for Christ. And that should be uppermost in our hearts. We know that we have all of these things and none of those things are wrong in themselves, but they have a place. But for many, they are the first place. We know today that in Australia, sport is a religion. It isn't a sport. It isn't a recreational thing. It is a religion. It's taken over. If you don't believe me, turn on your television. It's Monday they talk about the game. The Sunday and Monday they talk about Saturday's game. Tuesday they talk about Wednesday and Thursday and Friday. They talk about what's coming. It just goes on and on. And I often say to my husband, how many things can they think to say of? It's all been said. I mean, it goes on and on. This show, that show, the other show. Now, okay, sport's great. Football's great. But you see hundreds of thousands of people go to soccer, go to football, go to whatever else, the other football, and they rave and they cheer, and men that are normally so confined and so proper get out there and make absolute idiots of themselves. But they turn around and have a look and they say, oh, those Pentecostal freaks, they're the people that speak in an unknown gibberish and raise their hands. Well, what I hear at the football is gibberish, it's rubbish. And raising their hands, getting excited, they lose their voices. They get all excited about it. Now, that's great, but as long as everything is in its proper place, then we can come to church and we see that same passion? Not always. Sadly, this is a hard word, but it's a necessary word. It's a God word. Are we as passionate here as we are in other places? You see, women, I went to shopping to a store that I haven't been to for quite some time, just before the school holidays, and I had to walk out. I nearly got killed. They had this red sign that went on and said, as it's Red Spot Special, and I just walked over and started to pick up, and the next minute, talk about passion. They were ripping things out of the cartons and pulling, and one woman shoved me out of the way and pulled something out of my hand as if to say, you don't need that, I do. So I just left. I thought, it's not worth the special. I walked away. But that's passion. We call out something's free and people will knock each other over with this great desire to get there. Instead of thinking, well, I'm going... We had the privilege of going to a picnic. Well, we've been a few times and it's wonderful, I won't say any more than that, but everything there is free, just absolutely awesome. Everything is free, and we took our grandchildren. Now, knowing everything's free and there's plenty, it's okay, but the children are still knocking each other over, to get up the front with this passion because they think they're going to get missing, they're going to be missing out. Now, you see, if you said to the children, come here, we're going to have a Bible story, I wonder whether they would be in the same vein. You see, we need to have things into perspective. People scream about horses, that's another thing, racing, gambling. There is such a passion. If ever you want to see what goes on, just go into the Crown Casino. I nearly fell over. John had to grab me, and while I was walking through, amazing. People sit there with this passion, pulling this handle, believing any minute they're going to win something. What are they going to win there? What are they going to get there? There's no life there. Life is only found in Jesus. Romans 12:1 says, never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervour. Keep the fires going. We need to hear the word keep. We need to keep the passion. Keep the fire. This passion is not automatic. It's a choice. It's a choice that we make. It's a choice that we make to accept Christ as our Saviour, but it's another choice that we make to live for him, to allow him to live in us and be revealed in us. We're not passionate by nature. It's something we need to choose to do. It's something we need to let the Spirit of God pour into us. We need to keep the passion burning. Keep the fires going. It is not automatic. There are many people who are passionate for God. It's not just for the young. Often you hear people think, oh, well, when you're young, you're on fire for the Lord. But, you know, often that fire can be so ignited by emotion that it will just fade. There are many older people in this church of our CRC International across Australia. There are many, many wonderful men and women who are still passionate for God after 40, 50, 60 years. And that passion has never died. That passion is still alive. And that's what keeps you vital and alive, is the passion for God. One of my favourite people, as many of you would know, is Billy Graham. Billy Graham now is 90 years old. And 2 years ago, he was invited to North Carolina, so that they could honour their favourite son. But Billy now has Parkinson's disease, and because of that, he declined the offer to go. But with persuasion, they asked him, look, come, we don't care if you don't say anything, we just want to honour you because we love you. And so finally he went, and after they'd made all the accolades and said some wonderful things about him, they're so deserving, because in all of his years, 75 or something years of ministry, the passion is still as powerful and great in his life as it was as a very young man. And as he stepped up to the podium to thank them for the words that they'd said, he said to them, I'm reminded today of Albert Einstein, the great psychiatrist. Einstein, and he gave a story that Einstein was once travelling on a train. And as he was sitting there, the conductor came up ready to check the tickets. And Einstein felt in his coat pocket for his ticket, and it wasn't there. So then he felt in his trousers, and then he felt in his briefcase, and then he was getting embarrassed. He looked on the seat, and the conductor said, sir, it's all right, don't worry. I know who you are. We all know who you are. I'm sure you've bought a ticket. It'll be there somewhere. Don't worry about it. So with that, the conductor moved on. And as the conductor went to go into the next carriage, he turned round and he saw Einstein down on his hands and knees, feeling around the floor. And he went back and he said, sir, don't worry about it. As I told you, I know you are who you are. There's no problem. There's no need for you to find the ticket. It's okay. I'm sure you bought one. Einstein looked up at him and he said, young man, I too know who I am, but I don't know where I'm going. That's why he was looking for his ticket. Having said that, Billy Graham continued and he said, see this suit that I'm wearing? It's a brand new suit, I want you to take note. My children and my grandchildren encouraged me to buy it because they said that I'm not looking as smart and as fussily dressed as I used to in my younger day. So I went and bought the new suit for this luncheon and for one other occasion. "You know what that occasion is," he said. "This is the suit in which I'll be buried. But when you hear I'm dead, I don't want you to immediately remember the suit I'm wearing or this occasion. I want you to remember this. I not only know who I am, but I also know where I'm going. And I'm going with a passion. I look forward to it with a passion." Can you say that today? And at the end of it, he says, "Life without God is like an unsharpened pencil. It has no point. It has no point." Are you passionate today about where God is taking you? You know, sometimes our passion dies because we lead unbalanced lives. We need to have a balanced life. When we think about the life of Deborah, when we think about the life in the New Testament of Paul, who was so passionate, they had balanced lives. Back before they were known about, God did business with them. Do you let God do business with you in your quiet place? Is your life balanced? Now, none of us are perfect, and none of us can live like that 24 hours every day of the year. But we're not to be like this or like this. We are to be like this most of the time, but wobbling. But the wobble as we grow should become less and less. And so we need to have balanced lives. We need to know what it means to live a life worthy of our calling. Some people are so busy with putting out, with running around doing things, and they're always busy. But you see, busyness is not always effectiveness. I don't say to people I'm busy, I say I have a full life, but there is always room for more. There is always room for more. But we need to be balanced in what we choose to do. We can be so caught up with running to this and running to that and doing this and doing that. Some people are so busy making money. They work long hours and their families are starved for their relationship. Wives sit at home waiting for their husbands to come home. Husbands come home, they're so tired they can't be bothered speaking to their wives or spending time with their children. And so the wife feels neglected. That is not passion. If we are passionate and if our lives are balanced, we are able to do all things because he made it possible that we could do all things. Paul says that we are to be all things to all people, and that must first start in our home. Women need to be ready for their husbands to arrive home, not rushing around being busy here, there and everywhere so that when their husband comes home, nothing is organised. Children need to respect their parents and be ready to receive from them. So we need a balanced life in our home, but it needs to start in here. If I'm not balanced in here, if my portion is not set right in my life with God, then nothing I do will be balanced. I need to love my God with all of my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind and with all my strength. Every moment of every day, that is balance. I need to spend time with him. Then there are other people, their problem is that they just take in and don't put out. They go to Bible study, they come to church, they listen to tapes in their car, and there's all this feed going in, but they become fat little babies and nothing comes out. There are people today, we see, as I've said before, there are bookstores that were never around when John and I were young. Today you can buy a Christian book on everything. You can counsel yourself, which is very dangerous. You can read all about how to have a perfect marriage and how to have perfect children. And people read all these things, but there are only lines on a page if we don't put them into action. We need to take in and put out. What does it say in the Word of God? Faith without works is dead. And you know, I want to give a caution here. we need to be very, very careful that when we go and we receive much, when we go to Bible study and we hear, we cannot be discounted then as being ignorant. If you know the truth and you don't live the truth, you are accountable. The Word of God says, to whom much is given, much is expected. When you know, you cannot plead ignorance. When you know, God requires. And so the imbalance can be getting too busy, or the other imbalance is doing nothing. You know, I hear people say, in Psalm 127 first, it says, it's senseless for you to work so hard from early morning until late at night, fearing that you're going to starve to death, for God wants his loved ones to get their proper rest. And he wants us to trust him and rely on him. I hear people say all the time, it's not fair. I want to be used in this area. I want to be used in that area. Well, it's all there. We have a church and our name is Grow Church. That our desire is that we each grow. We're, the theme for the year is called Unashamed. Unashamed to be found in Christ. Unashamed to be passionate. Unashamed to put our hand up and say, I'll be counted. If you want to serve God, it's easy. Be committed. You know, it's very sad some Sunday mornings when we've got the worship team up here just about ready to start and people are still coming in talking through the doors. You know, if you're going to an opera or you were going into the city to a theatre, I guarantee you'd be early. Or if you're meeting someone for a dinner, you'd be on time. We so take the things of God for granted. We so take one another for granted. Now, we all know that we can have times where we can be late. Something unexpected can come. But often we make all these excuses and say, oh, I couldn't help at this. I couldn't help at that. No, we all have the same amount of time, but we need to see what our priorities are. And it's not only here in church, it's becoming a pattern lately. And this is why God stirred this within my heart. Because I've been grieved, even at meetings, to see how people are coming late. And also to see how poorly attended things are. We have a prayer meeting once a month. Once a month, where we're asked to come and pray. And there's a handful of people. We had a prayer meeting the other night from 7 till 11. There were 22 people came over that time. And some of those were children. Now, I know you're sitting inside and already, you know, I know. You're saying, oh, here she goes. She doesn't understand how I live. She doesn't understand my problem. She doesn't understand my work commitments. Yes, I do. I've been there. You know, John and I were sitting talking the other night. And this is not a big statement. It's just a fact. That obviously, in 51 years of marriage and 51 years of service to the Lord, there's probably nothing that we haven't done. We know it. We know what it's like for the challenges. We've had to work hard. We've raised our children. All of those things, so we know. And we know what it's like to make the excuses. We know what it's like to put other things in place. But over that time, we've learned. We've learned the things of God and what to put first. And of course, we know that there can be times, but not all the time, church. We live in a time where God is calling us to stand up and be counted. To stand up and be who God called us to be. We have, as Brendan said this morning, we have things with the finances. We have a worship team, singers and musicians who get up here week after week and give all they have. They need more. There are some young people that are rising up. Parents, encourage your young people. Don't encourage them to make excuses. Encourage them to be passionate. Let them see passion in you. Young people, seek God. Sometimes we can make excuses, but we can do other things. God wants us to do things for him and be here. It's not about standing up here, being on show. It's standing up here, getting into God's presence and leading the people into the throne room. We're not looking at you when you're up here. We're worshipping God. We need people for tea and coffee. We need cleaners. We need all sorts of things. And you see, we can often make the excuse, and it's true, the statistics say that 20% of the people do 80% of the work. But that shouldn't be in the kingdom. That shouldn't be. There is room for everybody. If you're feeling you want to be used by God, well, don't look at the leaders or the pastors and think they're not using me. Look at your commitment. That's what it's about. It's called discipline. It's called commitment. It's being called stand up and be counted. But that comes from a passion and desire. Renew in me a passion for you. Breathe on the coals of my heart. Let your fire burn. David, or one of the psalmists, says, as a deer pants for the water, so my soul longs after you. Longs after you, Lord God, to be all that you've called me to be, to do all that you've called me to do. Timothy says, take the time and trouble to keep yourself spiritually fit and alive so that God might use you. You know, it says in 1 Peter 2:9 that you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you might declare the praise of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Are we living that we're in this light? Are we revealing that we're in this light? You know, when there's a need, we should be jumping all over one another, not to get a free ice cream, but to do what it is that God's called us to do. We should say, here I am, Lord. Often we say, here I am, Lord, when it's great and it's sensational. But when it's a mundane thing, you know, you see the hearts of the people when there are things need to be picked up or there's a carpet needs to be vacuumed. Who goes and picks up the vacuum cleaner? Or who's ready to pick up the papers? Or who's ready to wipe the snooty nose of some little child that's not theirs, or hold them till their mother gets to them, or stick a Band-Aid on, or do whatever else, or make a meal for someone who's sick? Drive someone in a car that needs driving. Elder Lewis is running around with this car ministry. And on that note, as Pastor John was saying this morning about Joe away overseas, I miss them so much. Dear Antoinette. And we need to pray for her and Joe as they're overseas, because her heart and desire, her passion, is to reveal Christ to her family as she goes over there. So we need to pray for them. But we need people to do car pickup. There are people that we want to come to church that don't have vehicles. And so we need to say, okay, I'll pick them up. I'll pick them up. God gives us all talents and abilities, people. It isn't given to the some, it's given to the all. The Spirit of God is alive in each one of us. It says in, I just want to read this to you because it's very special to me. It's in Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, for the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to comfort the brokenhearted, to proclaim the captives, will be released and prisoners will be freed. He sent me to tell those who mourn that the time of the Lord's favour has come, and that it is the day of the Lord God's anger against his enemies. Now, when we read that, God's speaking to each one of us. He's not just speaking to me. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon you. Arise, shine, for his light has come upon you. Upon you. The words I want you to remember today is passion, know, and you. God's power is in you. Today, not tomorrow and next week, today. And it'll be in you tomorrow and so on. And you see, we can never outwork it. The more we work for God, the more he fills us. The more we praise him, the more he fills us. The more we adore him, the more he fills us. And so God is calling us to use what he has given us. He's put within each one of us his power, but he desires that we choose his passion. Each one of you should live his life with the gifts that the Lord has given you. God gave you gifts and abilities and talents to use, not to sit on. We went through the purpose-driven life a couple of years ago. How many remember that? Many. Maybe we need to do it again. It's speaking about, we talk about how it's easy to forget things. We get distracted by budgets and bills and babies and baseball and football and all kinds of things. We forget the five reasons that God put us here on earth. And just to remind us, I'll go through them with you now. The things that we learnt were worship, fellowship, God's word, ministry and mission. That every day we need, and not just once a day, but we need God's word. We need to have a passion and a desire. You see, we live in a society where everybody looks comfortable, everybody looks well fed. But it isn't always the truth. The truth is we live in a society with a lot of sickness because there's an overindulgence. Without the passion of God, we lose the ability to choose correctly and our life will get imbalanced. Many people eat because the food is there, not because they need it. And therefore it goes to waste or it works against your health. Our life needs to be balanced with a passion for God. And our greatest desire should be a hunger for him, a hunger for his word. Everything I say today is in here. If you don't know that, go home and read it. It's all here. God desires that we have a passion for him and that as we seek his word, he will instruct us how to live our day. Give us this day our daily bread. We need to be living a balanced life that we forgive. Sometimes we're not passionate because we hold unforgiveness or because we don't go and put things right with people that we need to. People, we think that we're going to be here forever. Life is short. We will be in eternity forever. Do it now. If there is something you need to do, do it now. Don't wait. Don't be caught up in pride. Do it now. You're not responsible for how the other person takes it, but you are responsible to have the passionate, unconditional love that goes and says, I forgive you or forgive me. I don't know about you, but many people go to bed and find it hard to go to sleep. Do you know why? Because they've got things laying like a weight on their heart because they're not being obedient to God. I don't want to live like that. I want to go to bed and be able to praise my God and thank him for all he's done. And to know that I can receive his forgiveness because I've given forgiveness or I've received forgiveness from another person. We need to forgive. We need to come to God's word every day. We need to worship him. And you see, worship isn't singing. Worship is our character. Worship is our lifestyle. We need to worship him in spirit and in truth. Yes, to sing and to praise God is wonderful. Just on a little note, I thought it was lovely the other day when Kayleen was in hospital and she had to have an MRI. And they took her down. They said, oh, look, sorry, dear, we haven't got any music for you to have and you're going to be in this machine for quite a while. She said, oh, that's okay, I'll make my own. She was singing psalms and spiritual songs to her Lord. So she didn't even notice the time. We don't need the world's music to entertain us. We have a song that needs to be surging within our own hearts all the time. So we need worship. We need fellowship. We need fellowship with him, but we need fellowship with one another. We need to spend time with one another. And fellowship is more than chatting. It's a bearing and a sharing and a deep awareness of one another. We need God's word. We need ministry. We all need to say, I can do that. You know, we had a couple of years ago a board, a dream board. How many of you remember the dreams you put up? Can anybody remember the dreams? Is anybody living the dream? I am. My dreams began. But it's begun because I put it, and it was a passion in my heart, and I believed it, and I just continued to push in till it arrived. You need to be realising those dreams, and that is ministry. Most of those things you'd have put down would have been ministry. If you're not serving God in some way, well, I ask the question, why not? It's not because anybody here is stopping you. You need to ask yourself before God, why am I not serving God? But as I said, remember, we often think that it's all wonderful to stand up here on the platform. But that is only what you see. It takes commitment. It takes time. It takes sacrifice. It takes yieldedness. It takes passion. And then there's mission. And as I said before, and I'll finish off here, we have a world that is in need. We have a community that is in so much need. That is our mission. I don't know if it's still there. We used to have a sign on the door that said, "This, your mission field starts here, your mission starts here." Then when we go out into the community, that's our mission. If we were passionate, we would see more people won to Christ. But so often we say, oh, well, I can't go to that meeting. There's a great TV program on. Well, who cares? We live in a day today where we can tape things if they're that important. But how could doing the things of God be more important? I assure you there'll be no good TV programs in heaven. You won't need them. Praise God for that. Because most of it is rubbish anyway. Now, that doesn't mean that I don't like to sit and watch certain things, but I'm fairly selective in what I watch. Jesus Christ didn't make excuses when God asked him to carry the cross and be hung and nailed there for you and me. He said, yes, Lord, I'm willing to go. Jesus showed himself alive to them. After his passion, by the many demonstrations, for 40 days he continued to appear to them and tell them about the kingdom of God. And Psalm 107:33 says, whosoever is wise will remember these things and will not think about the deep love and will think about the deep love of the Lord. Let's do that. Let's think about his deep love. Let's begin today. Let's start focusing on Jesus Christ and his love for us. Let's start standing up, church, and being counted. We live in an hour time. And as I've said before, yesterday's manna is no good for today. Yesterday's blessing will enthuse you, will encourage you and grow you, but it's no good for today. It's no good standing and saying, when I was saved, I was vital and I was powerful. Will you get a helium balloon and fill it up and it'll float up to the ceiling? If there's no ceiling, it'll take off. But look at it 24 hours later and it all starts to shrivel up. Do you know there are many Christians like that? They are passionate when they're first saved. They're alive and vital and this fire is burning. And a few years later, because why? The balloon goes down because there's no more helium being pumped in. If the Spirit of God is not alive in you, is not being pumped in, you will start to dissipate as well. Doesn't mean you're not saved. Yes, you are, but you're not effective. We need to be effective right up to the moment. We need to be on time for him. Not just on time in that coming to church, I don't mean, but on time with him every moment of every day. We need to be passionate for the things of God. We need to be passionate about him and for him. We need to be passionate for one another. Do you know there's nothing more wonderful than when you get a phone call and someone says, oh no, I haven't got a need. I've just rung to say, hello, how are you? It's wonderful. That's what we need to be doing with one another. I just called to say, I love you, says the Lord. He's there every day. If you doubt God, get up in the morning and open your window and look outside and see the love letter that he's written for you with the beautiful sky and the birds singing and the trees. They don't have any problem knowing who created them and what they're there for. What's your purpose? Do you know your purpose? Have you a passion about that purpose? Father God, I just praise you and thank you for your grace and your love. I thank you for the privilege, Lord, of bringing forth your word. And Father, I pray that I brought your word effectively and according to your will. And Lord, I pray that you would minister by your Spirit to each heart. Lord, you are not wanting to condemn, because you are not about that. You are about raising up. Lord, you love your children. You love each one of us. And so, Lord, with that love, you are wanting us to rise up. You are wanting us, each one, to be all that you've created us to be. For it saddens your heart, Lord, when you see your child not fulfilling all that you have given them. Father, may we remember this morning that we, each one of us, are a chosen people. You have chosen us, selected us, Lord God. That must stir our hearts with a joy and a passion and a love that is hard to comprehend, but it is hard to contain. There is no love like your love, and that you have poured that love on each one of us, not to make us feel embarrassed, but that we might stand unashamed and say, yes, Lord, here I am. Here I am, Lord. Show me what it is that you have called me to do for you, for the world, that I might bring change in this time that I am here on this earth, as I'm filled with your passion. So I just thank you, Lord, and praise you for your ministry to us today. And even, Lord, as we bring the word, you break the word over the one that brings it. And I thank you, Father, for the reminder in my life, Lord God, of what you require of me, Lord God. So may we praise you in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord.